The following content is not suitable for children.
Welcome to Foreplay Radio, Couples and Sex Therapy. I'm Lori Watson, your sex therapist.
And I'm George Fallon, your couples therapist.
And we are passionate about talking about sex and helping you develop a way to talk to each other.
Our mission is to help our audience develop a healthier relationship to sex that integrates the mind, the heart, and the body.
For a great personal lubricant, please check out uberlube.com and use the coupon Foreplay to support us at the podcast. Thanks.
Hello, Lori. Another week, another podcast. Happy to be alive. I know it's snowing here in New York. How about down there by you?
Yeah, we had snow. It was our big snow of the whole season. Went about 2 inches.
Wow.
You got 2 inches, you got everything, man.
Hey, that's deep.
It's beautiful. I woke up about 5 a.m. and it was just, everything was blanketed. It's totally, you know, the child in me gets so excited. I get up early and have my coffee and I watch the birds and I have a bird feeder and cardinals are my favorite bird. So, you know, there was cardinals at my feeder. It was really exciting. It's so beautiful.
It's something really cool about just sitting in your window, at your window, looking out there and just being blown away by nature and what it can do.
Exactly. They say when you die, you don't think about all the work you should have done. They think about all the moments and people that were important to you. That's what people are thinking about when they're dying. Isn't that a happy thought?
I start off my morning with Richard Rohr, my favorite author.
Oh, really?
He's a spiritual writer. I highly recommend them to our listeners. But he talks about there are three stories. There's my story, the immediacy of my life and what's happening and the work and what I need to do and all the stuff that most of us are lost in. Then there's our story, which is a little bit bigger, right? That's our community, our culture, you know, being American, being Greek, whatever your kind of background is. And a lot of us really get locked into that. And then he talks about, but the biggest is the story. Right. That's where, you know, what unites us all. That's the universe and the galaxies and the molecules and people that live in the story more of the time. That's what it reminded me when you were talking about just looking at that snow. Right. To just kind of sit back and just be part of the story. Something bigger than ourselves. That's pretty, pretty magical.
That is magical. I love knowing that about you, G. Like just read a little bit and contemplate and think about it.
Yeah, I try to get a little meditation, a little time to start my day in gratitude and in connection.
I like that. So how can we help men, particularly today, get back their mojo when they've been a sexual pursuer and then they become a burned out pursuer, right? They stop pursuing, they've been shot down a lot, and maybe things have started to change, though, for the positive, and their partner is back on board and wanting things to be better. And a lot of these men tell me, you know, I've just lost it. I don't know how to initiate that's going to be successful. I don't even want to. Everything I've done fails. I'll go through the list of things, and he'll say to me, Lori, I've done that, been there, done that. And nothing works. And unfortunately for her, I think for women, they really do need male energy in order to turn on. And it's so hard when she has been participating in shooting him down, right, for him to have that courage to come back and have that confidence. So how do we help men sort of get it back?
Great question.
Get their game on.
How do
we help men have a game? I do talk to some men who, one of the reasons it fails, I think, with their female partners, they don't have any game.
Yeah. Well, we're going to have fun here. We're just going to...
Just tell me what you think, George.
Well, the first thing that comes to mind is really the men needing to change their relationship to feedback, to start welcoming feedback instead of taking it so personal, so critical. I mean, this is great that your partner's letting you know in a more detailed, intimate way what works, what turns her on, what turns her off, right? I think so often men take that as I'm doing it wrong and all that's bad. And, you know, that really puts the brakes on inside the guy. So even beforehand, before just to say, wait a second, if my partner gives me feedback, this is good. This is more information. This is what allows me to be more attuned. Like I got to change my own relationship to feedback.
Mm.
What do you think of that?
I think that is so true. I think that a lot of male culture says that men should know what they're doing in bed. And when their partner lets them know, you know, that's not the right touch, that's not the right seduction, that's not right for me, it just feels like such a damper. And it challenges this part of kind of, I'm not much of a man, I don't know. And I, you know, one of the things I've heard is men push back on that really angrily. And that's part of the cycle too, you know,
Yeah. Just
being it, like you said, if they could take the feedback, ooh, I have a really funny story about that. I don't know. It's a little crass.
You can't stop now, my dear.
You know, I have a patient who said she told her husband early in life about what she liked. And he's like, you know, I need is a talking pussy, you know, in a really angry pushback way. I got to say a lot of, please don't clutch your pearls, women, girlfriends, you know, come on. You know, when I hear that, I hear a young man who feels like he should know. And when his wife tells him different, it's like he's challenged and he's defensive. And then he gets angry to push back.
Well, it's both sides are guilty of these, you know, Hollywood assumptions that great sex doesn't need communication. It's like the man reads and just kind of responds perfectly, and that turns the woman on, and she just, neither one of them's communicating. Do you ever see that in a Hollywood movies? Good communication?
Or
right? So it sets up this assumption.
Yeah.
Right. If my partner's telling me, wait, I don't like that, oh, I must be doing something wrong. And, you know, so we really got to start changing that to say, no, you're actually getting to know your partner better. That's a really risky thing for your partner to do, to let you know, right? Why are we going to make the same mistake hundreds of times? Like, let's get better attuned.
Mm-hmm.
This is so cool. You could celebrate your partner's feedback instead of taking it so personal. And all you got to do is change your relationship to it, to kind of go into sex saying, I want feedback. I actually want to know that this is a good sign.
Mm-hmm.
I think that alone starts to kind of fill up that guy's tank with mojo, right? Instead of all the criticisms that drain away that masculine energy, like that's what allows us to kind of put a gap in that drain and kind of allow it to start filling up again.
My husband does this ministry, and he's been doing this for, I don't know, 30 years or something. And one of the exercises that he does is, it's called a feedback loop. Mm-hmm. And you basically stand in front of people and they give you tough feedback. And the only thing you're allowed to say is, thank you for the feedback. That's it. No defense, no explanation, nothing. You just like let it in. Thank you for the feedback. And one of his ideas about it is, if it hurts, there's probably some element of truth to it. You know, if it doesn't, it'll just blow through you. If the person is saying something crazy, it just blows through you. It doesn't bother you. But it's this exercise that he has people accept feedback and just unchallenged. And I think in the bedroom, oh my gosh, all of us need to accept feedback and be grateful for it.
Mm-hmm. Another part of this, Lori, I think is for men to start responding differently to themselves. They have gotten beaten down by the rejections.
Mm-hmm.
And when you get beaten down, it's hard to have confidence. And when you don't have confidence, you become more cautious. And when you become more cautious, it just becomes a snowball effect, right? So for that guy to start treating themselves differently, instead of being so kind of hard on themselves, and, you know, because we start to internalize these messages, right? It's like the old Rocky movies. You got to learn to champion yourself in a different way. Instead of just beating yourself up, it's like, wait a second, no. Like, how do I tap back into that part of me that I am attractive. Like sometimes we actually got to like talk ourselves up to be able to say, you know what? So I lost a couple of fights here. I've learned some lessons from them, but who I am is still exciting and attractive and brings a lot to the table. And like, if you can't feel that, like you look in the mirror and you start kind of giving yourself that self pep talk, like, look at this handsome devil, right? You know, like who wouldn't be lucky to be with me? I mean, like affirmations, what's missing? What's the opposite of rejection? Affirmation and acceptance. Mm. It's not just your partner. We can learn to give that to ourselves to start bringing our mojo back, to start kind of bringing that into the room that says, yeah, you want a piece of this sexy devil, don't you? Right? And like just those tapes that start playing in our head are so different than these tapes where you sit back and you're saying, oh, she's not going to like this. Oh, well, that's not going to work. Oh, this is, you know, that just just really kind of drags us down.
This is Corinne Crabtree. She's a woman who helps women lose weight. She's a podcaster. And she says, you know, if you don't change the conversation with yourself, if you're always talking your body down and you don't change that conversation, you think when you get thin that you're still not going to be saying hateful things to yourself. She's like, you know, why would you say hateful things to yourself about your body? It's like you're living in it. It's like time to love yourself, love your body. And, you know, I think that's what you're saying. It's like, hey, talking it up, you know, how attractive, how sexy you are. You're the pirate. Right? The swashbuckling pirate man.
Hey.
Going to come
Rocky,
in there.
Whatever your image is to kind of turn up your game.
The boxer.
But notice both things we've already said. This is not just dependent on the partner changing. This is about what you can do yourself. Adjust feedback. Welcome it. Give yourself a pep talk. These are things that start to increase the mojo. Let's talk about some of Lori's ideas of what men could do to increase their mojo when we come back.
And our sponsor, Ubulube, still with us. We are so grateful. You know, they are a silicone-based product, and that basically is a non-reactive substance, so it doesn't cause allergies. It doesn't hurt. You know, so many lubricants, George, actually sting over time, you know, as women get allergic to it. And this is a neutral one. It doesn't change your pH balance, which is really important for women and hard to think about. But I think that using a lubricant, I advise it certainly for menopausal women and for any woman so that touch is more fun. I mean, I think people should use lubricants right at the beginning of sex. Him and her. I mean, I just think touching with a lubricant, it works better, right?
Lori, every time I just listen to you talk about Ubulube, it makes me want to go get some. So, you know.
Okay, good. You know,
this is, your passion's real.
Yeah.
And it's from success with something you believe in.
So I do. It's something that I've recommended to clients forever. And I am so proud that they have chosen us to represent them. Ubulube.com for 10% off with the coupon Foreplay. Give us a G-spot.
All right. If a couple is not able to hold on to their vulnerability, then that is a sign of the process telling us that they need to go back and really understand more about their mistrusts and the good reasons they're protecting themselves.
Hey, I just want to take a minute to thank our Patreon supporters. I am very grateful for what you've done, and we'd love to invite the rest of you in on our mission.
Your support means more than you realize, and it keeps this project moving forward, and we're really hoping to reach greater heights.
Find a link on foreplayradiosextherapy.com or foreplayrst.com, and we are so thankful for your support. Coming back to you, let's help men become pirates again. You know, the pirate is this image in women romances, you know, just kind of the guy who is so confident, who really knows what he's doing in bed and takes over and kind of controls the whole scene.
Right. I don't know. We're trying a metrosexual lad pirate, right? We got to get that pirate to know how to communicate. That's a big part of it. And
wait, we want to metrosexualize the pirate?
I mean, hey, what's wrong with the little manscape for the pirate, right? This isn't about, I think what's the turn on? It's the confidence.
It's the confidence.
But we got to, I think, shed that old image of the confidence being this kind of barbarian who just kind of comes and takes like caveman.
I don't know. I think the taking is something that women respond to.
Oh, of course, but the taking can be done in a 21st century kind of way.
Okay, tell me about that.
Right, that just has to do with how do you feel good about yourself while also recognizing your partner. Like you can take charge and feel confident. I don't know. I just think some of these images that we have that are, you know, you want to be powerful. You want to be feel like if you're a woman, that somebody's really in control. There's something about surrendering that there's a turn on. And if you can't surrender, then if you can't be overpowered, then you're always on all the time.
That is true. That is very true. So, I mean, we're all over the map here. Let me clarify what I'm hearing you say. Partly what I'm hearing you say is we want people to feel comfortable being in the modern era, and that there's, you know, sex is really complicated and there's lots of complicated feelings about it, especially if it's gone off track. Getting it back on track is difficult. I hear you also hearing from me and responding to the part that women do kind of like that high confidence, even if they shot it down. I mean, and participated in reducing it, they still kind of crave that part that is confident. And I'm not saying women don't want to be confident in themselves and all that, but I think it is very sexy in a man when he comes on to you and he is, I don't know that I would say overpowering, but has some sort of good energy that carries the day.
Right. Because I guess that's what I'm trying to stretch here, Lori. Some of the images we have, it's more about physical strength. The pirate, the caveman, like these strong that are just taking. That's different than confidence. And mm-hmm. I think, you know, if you're a lawyer, you're a CEO, like when you're in your element and you're doing your thing, you're whatever it is, when you're confident and you're in your flow, that's the mojo, right? That's you being true to yourself. And that's where that confidence comes from. And that confidence allows you to do it in a more modern way, right? Mm-hmm. You can have a great dinner and then, you know, have a great conversation. And then you get home and then this strong side comes out that says, I'm taking what's mine, right? And that's attractive to both sides.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
this group that my husband trains, I've sat in it many, many times, you know, and watched him do his thing. And I tease him afterwards. I'm like, oh, I really want to sleep with the trainer, you know, because he's like so on and he's just leaving it on the floor. You know, it's so exciting to see him in his element and see him set free and uninhibited. It's a great thing.
And to me, that's the turn on. When you're in your element and you're confident, you are going to be assertive and go for what you need. And that's going to be very attractive.
A lot.
But I think some of these old images are around physical prowess.
Okay.
And that kind of, it confuses men, right? Because they get these mixed messages that, you know, they're supposed to do the dishes and they're supposed to be communicative. They're supposed to be sensitive, but then it's supposed to be a caveman. It's like, who the heck am I supposed to be? Well, the answer is be yourself. Be your authentic self, whoever that is. That's where the confidence, being in your element, in your zone, is what's going to allow that to come out.
Mm-hmm.
And not trying to be somebody you're not. How many men are pretending to be, you know, the pirate because mm-hmm. they think that's going to work, you know, and then their partner sees through it. And it's like they get rejected and then it's like they go back to not trying. So
I think you're onto something. You know, oftentimes we have within us what we need to succeed in many ways. And you're saying the man has within him oftentimes the confidence, maybe in his work life. You know, and can he somehow or another find that zone where he feels powerful, where he feels confident, and bring that guy, that persona into the bedroom where
yes.
maybe previously it hasn't worked, but he has the skill set. He really does have the skill set to make decisions, to, you know, direct things, to be the guy. And if he could just do that in the bedroom.
Yeah. I mean, he's got testosterone driving this thing. He's set up for success. The only thing, it's all these blocks and fears that get in the way of him just doing what he does. Mm-hmm. So we're not trying to become somebody else. It's all right there. It's just a matter of channeling that energy and letting it express itself.
Mm-hmm. And you've said before that, you know, if he just comes into the bedroom and tries to be something that for the first time, he needs to have sort of progressive success with reps. Mm-hmm. What do you mean when you say reps? What's a rep look like in the bedroom?
Practice, practice, practice. You know, trying to do something a little bit differently, showing a little bit more of that confidence, having that confidence responded to, it builds momentum. I think too many men just try, you know, they do the lackluster, put my hand on your shoulder. That's my move to turn you on and tell you I want to have sex. Right? It's not a big turn on. There's not a lot of confidence, but they're preparing themselves for being rejected.
Okay, let's do all the ones that don't work. Like, hey, let's have some time this weekend.
Okay. Damn, I thought that was a good one.
Hand on the shoulder.
You know, or just matter of fact, you want to get naked, you know, you want to fuck, you know, what is these direct ways that.
Wait, is that one that works or doesn't work?
I don't know. You tell me.
Oh, it depends on the couple, I suppose.
I guess it's how you say it, too.
And it's how you say it. Absolutely. Right. And saying it sexy could really work.
And it's hard to go from lacking confidence and tentative and caution and preparing to be rejected to the pirate. And I mm-hmm. think, you know, that's also a mistake a lot of men make. Like, wait, you know what? Forget it. I'm just going to go for it. And they go for it so strong. It's like their partner's like, what the heck's going on here? Who's this person? Mm-hmm. There's no context for that shift.
Mm-hmm.
And then that gets rejected. And then they're right back to where they started from again.
I got to say, that cycle is so wicked. Yeah. You know, when the guy starts over and she tells me, you know, I just see like this little boy smile on his face. I'm like, yeah. And you put it there. Like you helped put that insecurity. That's what you're seeing, the anxiety on his face. And your cycle helped do that. That's bad news.
The cycle is, yes, the cycle did it to them.
I got to say, since we're already explicit, so do you know, you don't know this, George, but once we drop the F-bomb or we say explicit words, we have a different rating. So we're not quite as widespread. But since we've already dropped it, you know, if somebody's saying, you know, I think he should say, I want to fuck you versus, hey, you want to fuck tonight. You know, that's like generic. That's checking in. Like, are you into sex? But when it's really directed and personal, and he's got energy coming at her, that's more the pirate.
Yeah. And again, how many men have tried that only to hear, you just want to fuck, it's not about me. And it's like, that gets shot down too. So it is pretty vicious, but that's what reps is about. It's like, all right, you tried that one, that didn't work. Try to figure out why it didn't work. Or how do you come back a little bit differently, a little bit more attuned? You know, keep working towards that goal of just expressing who you are in that more secure, confident way.
It is hard to do. We feel for men who have lost confidence and need to keep trying this. They kind of have to split off the dangerous part of trying this again when they've been rejected. But I'm saying, you know, the ship has like turned around. And so they know there's danger that they're going into. There's possible rejection. I think there's possible scorn even. And mm-hmm. so, but they also maybe have heard from their wife, look at, I need more from you. I need more energy. I need more confidence. That's sexy. So they kind of have to compartmentalize this part that says, okay, I'm going to try this. And this other part of me that feels anxious about it, I'm going to just put it over here. Mm-hmm. They have to role play.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
They have to role play the confident man.
Exactly. And they're usually good at compartmentalizing. So this is in their wheelhouse to be able to imagine. I like the idea of a role player or a fantasy that just say, hey, you know, just for this next 15 minutes, I'm going to be more like this. And this is where the pep talks are really important. Mm-hmm. I just want, you know, men out there to hear that it's all in there already. It's just about letting what is naturally there express itself. You're not trying to be somebody else. The negative cycle puts you in a position that's not true to you. right? That indecisive, cautious, that is just what has happened through rejection. That's not your truth. Mm-hmm. Right. This is about just giving space to your truth that allows it to speak, that really just wants to engage in a more fully way. And as we've been talking about in other podcasts, you know, this is about being more present emotionally, physically, spiritually, kind of mentally, erotically. The more we're able to bring that to the table, it'd be impossible to stop our sexual confidence and energy from showing itself.
I like that. I think that's true. You know, so we're encouraging men to role play for 15 minutes, the confident part of themselves, to step into that. So maybe fantasizing and imagining, not necessarily sex, but fantasizing they're in the boardroom or they're in the field and they're directing their guys or something, some place where they feel the most true confident self. And imagine that for a little bit and then approach her.
Yeah. I'm going to go home tonight thinking about Rocky movies. He didn't take a couple of punches and rejections and quit. No, he came back stronger.
Adrian! Okay. Thanks for listening, y'all.
But keep it hot.
Call in your questions to the 4Play question voicemail. Dial 833-MY-4Play. That's 833, the number 4-PLAY. And we'll use the questions for our mailbag episodes. All content is for entertainment purposes only and should not be considered as a substitute for therapy by a licensed clinician or as medical advice from a doctor. This podcast is copyrighted by 4Play Media.